So today we are continuing the series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. So let me read the Lord's Prayer up to the part where we will look at today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Let's pray together. God, we pray that you would speak to us today a very, very clear word as we approach this very important topic of forgiveness, of receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning that may be struggling with receiving forgiveness or struggling with being able to be free of the resentment and bitterness that can come without forgiving someone. So, Lord, as we approach this very important topic, we ask that you would speak to us, that our hearts would be open, our minds would be open to your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So we are now in the fourth sermon of a series of six sermons on the Lord's Prayer. And as I have studied this prayer, our little cat's in here again, wants to hear about the Lord's Prayer, I guess. That is pretty funny, don't you think? As I've studied this prayer, it's become so increasingly clear to me that Jesus chose his words very carefully when he taught his disciples and us this prayer. It kind of reminds me of the final discourse, you know, those chapters in John right before Jesus was arrested. I think he focused on the most important things that he wanted his disciples to know. And it's the same here. Christ is not dealing with peripheral issues at all in this prayer. Everything he talks about is just essential to us experiencing the abundant life that Christ came to give us. And today's message, the topic of forgiveness. Wow, it is so central to the message of Jesus. You know, you take forgiveness out of the Christian message, and you really don't have Christianity anymore. I mean, that is how central it is. You really can't overstate it, just how central it is to the teaching and the person of Christ. I mean, you look at the encounters, and I would encourage you to do this if you've never done this before. Great study is to just read the Gospels. Just look at the places where Jesus had encounters with other people. Whether it be Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, whatever it may be, just look at his healings and his encounters, and you'll see that so often, even if the person comes with a physical ailment, what does Jesus do? He forgives. And then the person is healed. So it is just central. The cross itself was an expression of forgiveness. And it's easy to see, just from our own lives, why this issue of forgiveness is this business of forgiveness is so very, very important. Isn't it easy to see? Without forgiveness, folks, you really can't have close friendships, or at least long friendships. If forgiveness isn't present in a marriage, wow, it will not last very long, will it? Maybe the first day. On the world stage, wow, we can just read the paper today. We can see the results of two countries or two groups of people not forgiving each other, and the destruction and the pain and the heartbreak that it brings. Numerous studies have shown that the two sides of forgiveness that this prayer talks about, both receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness, they're crucial to good health, and not just mental or emotional health, but physical health. I mean, they've now discovered that high blood pressure, poor sleep habits, harmful stress levels can all be attributed to either guilt or anger, bitterness resulting from not receiving or freely giving forgiveness. So without a doubt, this business of forgiveness is not only central to the gospel, the message of Christ, but also central to just life itself, right? Almost on a daily basis. In fact, I would venture to say always on a daily basis, we have to either receive forgiveness or give forgiveness. And that's probably a pretty good reason why to say this prayer three times a day, like I've been encouraging people on Thursday night to do. The early church did that. We all need forgiveness. And we all need to forgive. Now, before we dive into what all this means, I need to address a couple questions that this petition raises. First of all, what is it? Sins, debt, or trespasses? You know what's so funny about this is one of the most asked questions that we pastors get. You know, 3 years of seminary, I don't know how much money, how many books we read, and this is the question people always ask, especially when we have a memorial service and we have people from different traditions attending the memorial service, and we say debt, and they say trespasses, usually, and they will ask us why. So I feel like we need to address this. So here it is. You know, being a community church, we all come from various traditions which use different words when praying this line of the Lord's Prayer. In Luke's version of the prayer, he uses sins. As we see from our reading this morning, debts is used in Matthew's gospel, and most English-speaking Protestants, Catholics, and Orthodox Christians use trespasses, which doesn't appear in any of the biblical versions of this prayer. But Matthew does use it. If you continue reading in Matthew, the next two verses, Matthew does use trespasses as he gives kind of a comment, as Jesus gives a commentary on the prayer. So each word just gives a little different nuance. You know, sins, like I've said before, is the most common word for sins in the New Testament is hamartia, which is an archery term, which means, you know, you simply pull back the bow and you shoot the arrow and you shoot for the bullseye and you miss. You don't quite hit the mark. We don't love as we should, maybe, or tell the whole truth. Usually we have good intentions, but we miss. And as we will see later in this sermon, when we take a look at one of the parables of Jesus, Jesus often used the debt metaphor as it related to forgiveness. And the New Testament uses this a lot too, as does the Old. Partly, this may be due to first century people being so familiar with debt. You know, the common people usually were in some sort of debt at one period of time or the other in their lives. And so they understand this burden that a debt can place upon their lives. They might know the freedom, really, of having a debt forgiven. Now, the Greek word for trespasses literally means misstep or falling away, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. And trespassing is taking the path you're not meant to take. So in some ways, trespassing is very similar to hamartia. So all that to say, all three words are really saying the same thing. So it doesn't really, it really doesn't matter. If you want to be right, you say the prayer that Presbyterians pray, you know, debt. Right, Don? Yeah. Otherwise, you know, do what you want. But they all say the same thing. We have all violated God. And we have all violated others. So that's the first question, a topic I want to deal with. Second is this: what exactly is forgiveness and what is it not? The Greek word that is used in this petition is aphaimi. It means literally to let go, to release, or to send away. Isn't that a great literal translation of forgiveness? To let go, to release, to send away. It is to release a person from any kind of retribution or revenge if they hurt us. It is God not holding any, God's right to hold any sin over us. He lets it go and frees us and wants to free us. Please hear this morning, from any kind of guilt and shame. Now, one of the most important things to realize about forgiveness is that it doesn't always, nor does it have to, lead to reconciliation. You know, I have counseled a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I think, who feel like they're confused about this. They feel like if they forgive someone, say it's a close friend, that they again have to have that person be a close friend. Or a wife who is abused by a husband, that wife may forgive her husband, but it doesn't mean she has to stay married to him. It's just not, it's a toxic relationship usually that is probably going to continue to harm her. So it doesn't mean the same thing as reconciliation. It's also not playing down the offense. You know, saying, it's no big deal. It's all right. It's not a big deal. No, it's not tolerance. It's important to say, no, that stunk. That hurt me. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. You know, sometimes people say we have to forgive and forget. It's probably not going to happen. We're probably still going to remember the offense, but we release it. We let it go. Forgiveness also, and this is interesting, is not apology dependent. Sometimes we may not get an apology. And this gets tricky, and yet we still are called to forgive. So, this part of the prayer is very important. And Jesus, and here's what I really want to focus on today, because I think this is another question that this prayer, part of the prayer raises, this link between receiving forgiveness and then giving forgiveness. And we see this link in many other passages of Scripture. And one is another passage in Matthew 18, where Peter comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? You know, in that day, if you forgave up to three times, you were considered really magnanimous. And Jesus kind of blows that out of the water, because Peter says, do I forgive up to seven times? So Peter's trying to make himself look good to Jesus. You know, I'm going beyond three, Lord. I'm going to seven. And then Jesus says, probably what was very surprising to him, oh, no, not just seven, Peter, but what? 70 times seven. Or in other words, you just keep forgiving. And then Jesus tells this parable, which has become known as the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is a great parable. You know, the parables are interesting because they usually have some surprises, and the surprises unlock the meanings. And we also find ourselves in the parables. And then all of a sudden we realize, wow, that person I think that is such a crook, Jesus is talking about me. So we find ourselves. So here's how the parable goes. Jesus begins by saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, God's rule, a place where God's rule reigns, his will is done, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And a man who owed the king this huge debt was summoned to appear before the king. And you have to know that this debt is so huge, it is so big, that this person could never, ever repay it, not in 10 lifetimes. It's just so big. And so the king ordered the man and his entire family to be sold into slavery. But the servant fell to his knees and pleads for mercy. Oh, please be patient with me. I'll get it to you. I'll pay what I owe you. And then and I think this is maybe the surprise of the parable, in this, well, maybe not, you tell me, in this surprising act of just pure grace and generosity, the king has mercy and cancels this entire huge debt, just forgives it. But then something else surprising happens. On his way out of the palace, this servant who has just been forgiven this huge debt, I mean, he must be so happy. He must be walking 3 feet off the ground, right? He spots this other servant who owes him this very small amount of money. And he goes over to this servant who owes him money, and he grabs him by the throat. You owe me money. Pay it back right now, or I'll have you thrown into prison. That's pretty surprising behavior, don't you think? I mean, can you imagine? None of us would do that, right? You would think that someone who just moments before was the recipient of this almost scandalous act of mercy would just readily, right, extend this same kind of mercy to another person. Now, when the king hears about this encounter, he orders this unmerciful servant to be thrown into prison until he pays back all that he owed the king. I've always wondered, how's he going to pay this back in prison? But that's what happens. And then Jesus ends the parable with these chilling words. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now that's kind of confusing, because it seems like Jesus is placing conditions, right, on forgiveness. So what can we learn about this? Well, I think, first of all, we are all sinners in need of forgiveness. Notice that Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, just assumes that we need to ask God for forgiveness. He doesn't try to persuade us. He doesn't say, in case you somehow do something wrong someday and happen to be need of forgiveness, here's what you ask for. This is how you ask for it. No, he doesn't do that. He just says, you know, you're going to need it. He assumes it. Romans says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this parable tells us that we all have such a huge debt. We are this unmerciful servant, all of us. We have this huge debt that we can never repay. There is nothing that we can do to pay it back. Remember, this guy could have worked for 10 lifetimes and never repaid this debt. This is us. We are totally dependent on God for mercy. It is just pure grace. It's a gift. Well, you know, I was thinking about this. When we pray the prayer confession together every Sunday, we acknowledge this truth, don't we? That we are in need of forgiveness. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, corporately, we confess this truth. thinking about it, where else in our society today do people do this? It's kind of radical, isn't it? You know what I've noticed? I've been in ministry now 40 years. There has been a shift over those 40 years. Absolutely, and I've read about it. Others have noticed this too. There's been this shift in our culture that people aren't really aware as much as they used to be of their need for forgiveness. It doesn't, you know, I've read articles about how we should preach now to adapt to this change in our culture. When I first began, when you would talk about the need for forgiveness, it was pretty much assumed. Don, have you seen this too? Today, not so much. There's a book that's written, Whatever Happened to Sin? You know, I think it's to our detriment. As a culture and as people, the truth is we need forgiveness. We all need it. Carl Menninger, the world-renowned psychiatrist who ran the Menninger Clinic for years, said half of my psychiatric patients could walk out of here tomorrow if they really knew they were forgiven. Yesterday when I was listening to NPR driving around in my car, there was a story about a woman who's written a book about, of all things, women's youth boxing. And she's writing stories about the different women, young women that she meets who are involved in this sport. And they highlighted one young woman who was really almost numb to life. Didn't really care if she won or lost the boxing match. Didn't really care about her life. Didn't think she had a future. Just kind of numb. And the reason why is because years earlier, she was a lifeguard at a pool, and a young child drowned while she was lifeguarding. And she felt this tremendous guilt, whether it was right or not, that she felt this guilt. She did, and it was ruining her life. Now, that's an extreme example. Wow, don't we all need forgiveness? Always. Second truth we learn in this is God is in the forgiveness business. God does not, boy, if you don't hear anything else from this parable and from this prayer, it is that God is eager to forgive and God is eager to take the burden of any guilt and shame that we may carry and set us free. You know, there's this old story of a Catholic church, a Catholic priest who was living in the Philippines, a much loved man of God who once carried this secret burden of a long past sin buried deep in his heart. And he had committed this sin once, many years before, during his time in seminary. No one else knew of this sin except he and God. And he had repented of it numerous times and had suffered years of remorse, but still had really no true peace, no inner joy that really comes from knowing we're forgiven, no sense of God's forgiveness. And there was a woman in this priest's parish who deeply loved God and claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ, had conversations. Now, the priest was kind of skeptical of this, so to test her visions, he said to her, "You actually speak to Christ?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, the next time you have one of these visions, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary." The woman agreed and went home, and when she returned to the church a few days later, the priest was eager to see what happened. She said, "Well," he said, "did Christ visit you in your dreams?" She replied, "Yes, he did." "And did you ask him the question I asked you to ask him?" "Yes, I did." "Well, what did he say?" "He said, I don't remember." You know, that's what we need to realize. Now, God really does remember everything. God knows all things. But a great story saying, God doesn't hold it. And there are things in my past, I got to tell you, still dog me sometimes. And here I preach grace all the time. You can always tell what a pastor struggles with because of what they preach about a lot. But I want to tell you today, you know, I know there are people here, absolutely, who still carry the burden of something that they did. Man, as your pastor and someone who loves you, realize that you can let it go. That God is eager, not just willing. He wants you to be free. He wants you to enjoy the freedom of forgiveness. He wants you to know the joy that comes that even though he knows everything about you, he loves you more than you could ever imagine. God is in the business of forgiveness. You know, over the years, I have read Psalm 103 over and over and over, and here are some verses that just have stuck with me about forgiveness. As far as the heavens are above the earth, the psalm says, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. The third truth is God calls us to extend forgiveness to others. And this is the link. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Now, Jesus in this parable uses really strong words. You know, cast them out. But I think what he's doing there is he's using hyperbole because we know, and whenever you come to situations in Scripture where you think, well, that doesn't seem to sit right, well, just realize Jesus uses a lot of hyperbole, and usually if all the other body of Scripture says something else, it's usually the other body of Scripture which says you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, you're forgiven, without condition. So Jesus, I think, when he uses hyperbole, he's trying to really stress the importance of what he's trying to say. He's trying to get our attention. And the things he's trying to get across here is we will forgive to the extent that we know forgiveness. The more fully we know grace, the more easily we will extend grace to others. And if you have a hard time extending grace and forgiveness to others, then probably a good indication that you don't know it yourself. You know, one time I at a point in my life, I had a hard time forgiving someone, and I was praying, Lord, help me to forgive. It really bothered me. Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. And you know what I learned? I hadn't really received the fullness, experienced the fullness of God's forgiveness in my own life. And that's what God was trying to get through to me. Steve, know it in your own life. And then it'll be easier to give away. You know, I love that story in Luke when Jesus is dealing with a Pharisee and a woman of ill repute, probably, and she breaks that alabaster jar, remember this? And breaks it on his feet and just kisses Jesus' feet. And the Pharisee is horrified. And Jesus says to him, you know, those who have been forgiven much love much. Oh, great verse. Take it in. Experience fully. Second thing, and this is the last thing, it's important to forgive because not forgiving is this huge burden. This is why Jesus wants us to forgive others. Just like guilt can ruin our lives and be this heavy burden, oh, so can resentment and bitterness, can it not? It can become the focus of our lives. It can ruin our lives. And God doesn't want us carrying around all that garbage. Remember the parable of the prodigal? The kingdom of God is like a father who had two sons. One was really bratty and did horrible things. And there's the waiting father scanning the horizon for his son to come home. Remember that? And runs to him. And before he says anything, his little speech about earning his way back onto the farm, the father just hugs him and kisses him and kisses him and kisses him and kisses him. Remember? That's the kingdom of God. And that's how God treats us when we need forgiveness. Amen. Let's pray together. God, I want to take a moment right now. Now I allow anyone who is still carrying a burden of guilt or shame for something that was done maybe many, many, many years ago. If that's you, I want to give you a chance right now to just ask that God would take. God's already forgiven you if you've asked him. But ask God to make that forgiveness real in your life so you can be free. And for those of you who are having a hard time forgiving, and I realize, wow, horrible things are done to people, and it's hard to forgive, but God wants to give you the power to forgive and to be free. So now, why don't, if you're struggling with this, take a moment, ask God to lift that burden and to help you to forgive. God, we thank you for this gift of forgiveness. Oh, this great gift. And we thank you that you are a God who is eager for us to experience freedom and joy. In our lives, that you want us to be healthy people, whole people, not to carry around the burdens of not forgiving or not receiving forgiveness. So Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.